Hi, and welcome to the next episode of The Promising Creative, where I'm here with Mars.
Yeah, that's me.
Got it nice and fresh there, got it off straight out. So, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
I met you in
Paris
for Paris Fashion Week, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And I was drawn to you. I don't know, I was just drawn to you. Like, you had this wicked energy, and I was like, and I feel like we just became sort of like, we just connected.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And I really wanted to get you on my podcast just to discuss all things with you, like, so
Paris was lit, man.
It was pretty intense. It
was that was
intense.
Good.
And so thanks for coming. So I just want to start off by just can you start by just telling me a little bit more about your background and what are your influences?
Yeah, so I was born in Kennington.
Okay.
Yeah, South London, Kennington, and my parents both creatives. So my mum, she's like, they both run charities. Basically, my mum does a theatre charity helping people to use acting as a way to get through their trauma. She works with a lot of women who have been through like abuse and things like that. And then my dad, he also runs a charity but helping like young offenders to channel their energy into creating art and like mosaics. So I grew up like with both my parents very creative. And, like, obviously, to run a charity, you have to be passionate about what you do because the money's not, like, the best. So just seeing them, like, work really hard and be passionate is, yeah, that, I'd say that's the background to me being creative, I would say. Them doing that for me. And then, obviously, growing up in London, like.
Yeah, Kennington, good old Kennington.
Yeah. So I was born in Kennington, but then I moved to Waterloo, which is, like, quite central, so you just see everything. You have like some of like you see some of the richest things ever that you've seen, and you're surrounded like you can see that like across the bridge or whatever, and then you have some of like estates and everything around you. Like I grew up in social housing and things, so it's like the contrast was big when growing up, but I feel like being able to see it so visually, the fact that like it made it more attainable in terms of like I had dreams because I knew like I could see people driving around in their cars and like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Something you was like, I can have that,
yeah,
because you could see it, you could visualize it,
because I could see it, but then I could also see the other side, and I was more involved in the other side of things in terms of like estates and all of this and like
the day-to-day grind,
yeah. And then obviously that builds you as well, because then like you have more to talk about,
yeah.
And that's what like music and being creative is all about. Like you need inspiration, and like sometimes the best inspiration can come from like being in the worst situations. So yeah,
so you grew up in, and then you moved to Waterloo,
yeah.
And I wanted to sort of like touch on your acting, because I didn't know you did acting. Obviously when I spoke to you, it was about music and stuff, and you've like, you know, you've worked with some really cool actors, actresses, Tim Roth, Lily James, and the guy from Narnia, Willie Porter, I think his name
is. He actually scout, like I didn't have to audition for that part that I played. It was his. He played a role in it, but he was also directing it. And he, like, chose me out, which was, like, an honour, obviously, because he's, like, sick. So, yeah, that was cool, man. I feel like the best one was Cillian Murphy, though. Do you know him from Peaky Blinders?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty sick working with him. But I feel like, because my mum, she was in theatre, and, like, she's on the whole acting side of things. She kind of just threw me into it from a young age and, like, got me to audition for an agency. I got into the agency, and yeah, from there just auditions all the time, man. It's tough being, it was tough though, it was hard.
Did you feel like you learned a lot from that?
Definitely, like rejection, 100%, like learning to deal with rejection is what is the main thing that I learned, because I probably went to like over 50 auditions, and I had maybe like 5 roles, which is in, to be fair, that's not a bad ratio in when you look at the actors' experiences. Like, actors have to go to lots of auditions all the time. And, like, you rarely, yeah, it's quite hard to get that role, but I'm grateful that I got the roles that I did. It was a good experience.
And then did you just think, I don't want to do acting anymore, or?
No, do you know what it was? I think it was just the constant, I was having to learn lines while I was doing my GCSEs and things, and it was just too much. Like, especially when, like, in the back of your head, there's a voice like, oh, I'm learning all these lines, and, like, I might not get the role. Obviously, that's not the best way to think, but I was only young in it, so that was a thought in my head when I was doing it, and it kind of just, yeah, it kind of just became, it was too much to juggle with school and things, and, like, my GCSEs coming up, so I kind of took a step back, but in the future, I definitely, like, want to do acting and go back into it. I'm even thinking, like, next year when I finish university this year, then I'm done with studying for the rest of my life. So I'm going to, like, then hopefully go back into it. And, yeah, it's definitely something that I want to do.
And what was, what are you studying? Tell me a bit more about your, what you're studying.
Media and communications. Yeah.
Is there a particular reason why you chose that? Is there something that you want to do?
So obviously I do the radio work, and visuals is something that I've always loved. Like, even within my music, I've always directed my music videos, I've edited my music videos, like, and I love the visual side of being creative in any aspect. And, like, so yeah, media, that's kind of media. So I thought, you know what? Let me study it. I don't want no one to ever turn me down because I don't have, like, a degree or something. So I just wanted to be able to open up all the doors because I know that I can do it if I push myself. So I might as well just do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went for it, and it's been good. It's been good. Like, I'm making a documentary right now, and yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that. Tell us about your documentary.
Yeah, I'm making a documentary about an artist called one of my friends, and basically just, it's kind of about the relationship between mental health and music, because it's got a weird relationship in a way of, like, obviously you want to have good mental health in general in life, but the best music and the best artists, I think, are a bit they're not, like, they have a lot of them have bad mental health, and that sometimes is what makes the music so good. And it's just about, like, yeah, it's exploring that through her as an artist, because she's had her struggles with mental health and things, and just, yeah, kind of highlighting the fact that struggle and pain can be, like, beautiful as well.
Yeah, I remember reading somewhere that before expansion comes suppression, like, you get suppressed and then you expand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What made you decide to do a documentary? Is that something that you want to go down? Because, like, when I look at all the stuff you do, you're a presenter, you make music, you've been acting, yeah, you're doing a degree. Is it anything to do with creativity that you dip in and out of? Or is there a particular thing that you think, you know, I really want to do this? We ain't even touched on the music yet. We've gone sideways into the documentary. But is there anything that you don't particularly like doing creatively? Or do you think, like, I'll try anything if it tickles my fancy?
I just like ideas.
Okay.
I just like coming up with ideas. I like writing and storytelling. And I feel like there are different mediums of doing that. But it's all kind of the same thing. Like, making music is a way of storytelling. Directing a documentary is a way of storytelling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's all different formats of doing it. But, yeah, I just feel like I have ADHD in it. So, like, I'm just all the time thinking. So I need to put my thoughts. I just put my thoughts into these things. And I have loads of ideas all the time. And I just want to make them happen.
So when you get an idea, what do you do? What's your process? So an idea pops into your head. Do you think about where you want it to be housed? Or do you think, right, this is a good music track, or I want to be able to create a video out of this, or I want to be able to make a documentary? Or is it just an idea that you just, do you jot it down? Do you write it down? What's your process creatively?
So I do write it down a lot. I try and keep a journal. I'm not always successful with it, but I try my best to keep a journal of like my goals and stuff, like, and I try to reflect on like what I want to be doing. But I'm quite good at just doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't like to ponder too much.
You don't procrastinate, you just get on with
it. Yeah. But I procrastinate as well. Don't get me wrong. I procrastinate and I'm so indecisive sometimes. But, like, I just like getting on with things. And I find so much happiness, like, in just the act of, like, being creative. So, yeah, when I have an idea, I feel like I just kind of try and execute it.
So from your acting, you then jumped into music. Was there a name change there somewhere as well?
Yeah, so like Martha is my real name, but then I became Mars Faye with my music. Just because, like, I think it's a bit cooler.
It's okay, yeah.
It's a bit cooler. I didn't want my government name really and truly because it's all right, but it's not really me. Like, I don't feel like it represents me as much. So, yeah. So that's when Mars was born. But I feel like I started I always made music. I played the guitar from a young age. So, like, and I would learn, like, songs on YouTube and things, on the guitar, mostly. And, like, my dad listened to a lot of music. And I grew up in church as well, like, going to church. So, like, it's always music in church.
Do you go to church now, or...?
Nah, not really.
No.
My mum's so upset.
But you don't go.
I don't go, but nah. I don't really go, but I don't know. I'm not, like, against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just life.
Isn't it? Just one of those things that you're busy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit in. And so you changed your name because it felt more right for what you were creating. And when did you really... So you started playing the guitar from young. Did you always think you wanted to make music, or...
Not really. I didn't really understand that it was a thing that I could do like that, because no one really did that, like, around me, really, like, as a career or anything like that. And I didn't really know how to do it. Like, I didn't know, like, about studio and things like that. So it was definitely when I first started just, like, practicing songs and things, it was definitely just I just wanted to express myself in a way. But then, yeah, for like growing up and then starting to have inspirations and like get attached to certain artists and things, then I really was able to see that this could be a thing. But really and truly, it was my neighbor and my brother that made me think it was possible, because they started a band. And it was kind of weird because, like, my neighbour, Joey, proper roadman, like, tracksuits only, and, like, he was just... And then suddenly one day, like, he became a rock star, and it was so cool to me, like, and it was so strange because everyone in the area were, like... People in my area aren't very, like... I can't explain it. They're quite, like... Anything you do outside of the box, they can be a bit judgy in a way. So, like, people would look at him like he was crazy because he started coming out in these, like, Dr. Martens and, like, wearing these leather coats and, like, but he's the tough guy in the area that's meant to be, like, you know, rough and, like, and he's coming out and he started doing rock music with my brother. Like, they started a rock band. And it was, like, crazy. But I just remember thinking that, wow, like, this is so cool. And then they started doing shows and things, and I think that was when I first was like, oh my days, like, I can do this kind of thing. But yeah.
So then you thought, right, I'm going to start making music. Is there a style of music that you fell into, or what would you say defines your music now? Or?
Well, I'll say I've done a bit, like, a variety of genres, to be fair. I'm just trying to put out whatever I'm feeling in that moment in time and not be so constrained, because I haven't blown up yet. But so I need to explore. I need to see what sticks. I need to just express myself, and whatever whatever sticks, then I can dive deeper into that genre. But I'm not trying to be too constrained to a specific genre, because I don't listen to a specific genre. I listen to everything, literally everything. There's not one type of music that I listen to, and some of my favorite artists as well, they don't just stick to one thing. Like,
they're bouncing in and out of sounds.
So I'd say, like, I do that quite a bit, but I am finding my lane though, definitely. Now that I've come, like, when I first started making music, I used YouTube beats a lot because I didn't know any black producers and things like that, so I've used a lot of YouTube beats. But now that I'm getting into the studio and making songs from scratch in the studio with a producer, that's where I really feel like my sound proper can shine through.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how often are you going in and out of the studio now? Is it?
So I go studio once a week, for a day out of the week. But then I also just like write at home.
Okay.
And I can take things into the studio or just like make something from scratch. I have a little home set up as well, so I put down like drafts and things at home. But yeah, I go once a week, and then sometimes more if there's like collaborations or
And so tell us a little bit more about all the other stuff that you do that isn't about music, the presenting, the working at the radio station.
Yeah,
just give us an overview so people can get a better understanding of what your week actually looks like.
Yeah, so obviously I love music and I admire so many other people, and I'm very integrated in the underground community of like up and coming artists, just from me myself going to shows and performing and just meeting people. And yeah, so I was like, I wanted to do a radio show showcasing all of these like amazing artists, and so that's where I first like came up with the idea for my radio show. But before I even had the idea, I'd finished my A-levels. I went to LSE, do you know, London School of Economics, and I hated it because it's so like,
I can't see you there.
That's what I mean. I was stuck out like a sore thumb. Like, people were turning up to the lectures in suits. Like, I was in my tracksuits. Like,
what made you go there?
Well, I did good in school, innit? So like, I worked hard, innit? I put a lot of pressure on myself.
Yeah.
I'm a perfectionist. I worked hard, and like, I had a point to prove to my school because they kicked me out. I got expelled, and I was in a pupil referral unit. And so like, I didn't get kicked out because I was a bad student. Actually, I got kicked out for writing a rap about the school.
Okay.
And it went, everyone reposted it, and I was quite rude in it, I can't lie, about like some teachers and things. Like, it wasn't the best thing to do, yeah. But whatever, they expelled me. And it was just kind of like as a school, they like their students to go to LSE or Oxford, like they're really big on that. It's like where they rejected me and kicked me out and like thought I was like trouble and like was always like looked down on me. I kind of just did it to be like to them.
To show them that you could.
To show them like, yeah, what, like you're going to put me in your stats now, like as one of the students that like
going
to one that did it, like you're gonna include me in your assemblies, yeah, like, yeah. So I kind of did it for that, and then I realized like, yo, this ain't actually what I want to do. Like, I wasn't enjoying it at all. So I dropped out, and I was like, what am I gonna do? Like, I basically have a gap year right now, and I was like, okay, what am I gonna do then? And I was experimenting with music at the time, and I was like, I'd met my, I had a girlfriend at the time, and like, I'd been introduced to like these bunch of like creative friends and stuff. And I was like, for the first time that I had creative friends, because my friends in my area were just like chilling park, smoke weed, like that's what it was, kind of thing. Like, there was no creative aspect to it. And this is the first time that I made creative friends, and I was like, oh my days, like, I want to also showcase what they're doing. And like, radio would be so sick if I could. Yeah, I just thought of radio, and I was like, I was like, I want to do that. That would be so sick. And I sent an email to I got a list of all the stations in London, sent an email to every single one of them. Only heard back from one, but that's what I needed, isn't it? So, yeah. And I got into the BFM. And Represent Radio got back to me, but not about having a job there, but I did training. Like, they have their 10-week training program. Went on to that. Yeah, and then started doing work at the BFM. But the thing with radio is you can't just get a show straight away. You kind of have to, like, be useful in another way to get into the station, then show your personality, and then get a show. Well, that's the way I did it. Obviously, if people have, like, clout and things first, it's way easier to get a show, but I had nothing in it. Yeah. I was just trying to
and
do
you did
it.
That in your gap year.
Yeah, so I learned how to edit then. I watched YouTube videos and I learned how to edit so that I could be useful for the station, and they basically let me, like, edit for them, and that was a way for me to, like, get in the door and kind of just, like, be useful and then show my personality. And then I was able to get a show after that, like, after they got to know me and, like, saw that I could do a show. And then, yeah, I did that, and then went to Represent Radio after, like, a year and a half after that. And then, yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
And you enjoy that, obviously.
Yeah.
And is it still based on up-and-coming music?
Yeah, up-and-coming artists is the main focus of the whole show.
So, just going back, so you met your creative friends.
Yeah.
Which was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
These people don't just want to do what my other friends are doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's all right as well. That's what they want to do. And tell me a bit more about that. Because, like, at what point did you really start to create your music? At what point did you be like, right, so you're working at the radio station, but at what point did you think, like, right, okay, I'm going to go in. And what was your first track that you created?
Okay, the first track I created was a song called Sunsets and Beaches.
Yeah.
Because I was waking up every morning in lockdown and going to, like, watch the sunrise at, like, 5 a.m. And then I kind of just... And it was on South Bank that I'd watch it, and there's, like, a little beach on South Bank. So I made a song about that. And, yeah, I guess I just... It was lockdown. I bought equipment for, like, to build a little home set up. And I just put on YouTube beats. And I'd just write because, like... There was nothing else to do, really, innit? So I just started writing and just watching loads of YouTube tutorials on how to, like, use GarageBand and, like, make a song. And then I just started recording and things in lockdown. And that was my first track that I did, Sunsets and Beaches. I released it. Like, it's still one of my favourite songs. And, like, yeah, that's how it started.
And now, would you say that you'd prefer more to be an artist or that's creating music, or where would you say that you would more likely sit in your head? Where's your journey now?
Music is definitely at the forefront of it all.
Yeah.
But I feel like music's also going to open so many opportunities for other things. Like, with my music, I can make music videos, like, so that's me bringing in, like, the whole video aspect of things and the media aspect of things. I can make my music videos. And then, yeah, I feel like, yeah, music's definitely at the forefront. Radio also helps my music in a way because I get to play my own songs on radio.
Yeah.
I get to network with artists all the time and build them connections. So, yeah, but music's definitely number one, but there's so many aspects of music that I can feed in my other creativity into it. And even acting, there's loads of musicians that have, like, had features in films and things like that. So I definitely wouldn't close the door to anything else. Like, if music was to blow up, when music blows up. So
it will open other doors.
It will
doors.
Open more doors. Yeah, it will, like, it will. Yeah.
And while all that's going on, how are you surviving? Because that's also the battle, is being able to,
yeah,
like, literally eat
and
do your thing, and while you do what you love. Because obviously, you know, not many people that are lucky enough to be able to do stuff that they really, really enjoy. Some people literally just go and do a job 9 to 5 and earn their money, and they don't particularly like it, but they get on with it, and that's life.
So obviously I have my part-time job that helps.
Tell us a little bit more. What do you do?
So I work as an editor for TalkSport, sports radio station.
Yeah, I hope everyone knows TalkSport.
Sports radio station, but the way I actually got that is because... So I don't get paid for none of the radio stuff that I do in terms of like presenting.
Yeah.
And even when I was working like 3 days a week at the station, but I wasn't getting paid doing editing and things for them. That was all for experience. But whilst I was doing that, I was on Universal Credit, and that was kind of like what was supporting me during that time, to be able to do them things. And then through Universal Credit, actually, I had a job coach, and then I was just while I was on that, I was just building my skills and like YouTube tutorials, learning how to edit and doing my music videos, editing my music videos. And I showed it to my job coach, and I was like, I want a job in the media. And then TalkSport were actually doing a scheme where they got like disadvantaged people into the workplace, because you know the media industry is very like, I'm not gonna lie, everyone at my work, they got in through like knowing someone or like so I think they were trying to do that to kind of open doors to people that wouldn't really be able to get into them places. And I applied and went through the whole interview stages and everything, and they were just like, yeah, they thought it was hella cool what I was doing, and I was just showing them the videos I'd edited. I don't know how I got it, I know how I got it, but at the same time, I sent them like my music videos where I was like singing about smoking weed and like, and I was like, yeah, I edited this, and like, they thought it was cool though, which is like sick. And like, they accepted it, and they like just saw the creativity and like saw that I was working hard. And I got the job. And then that's really what's been supporting me like financially to be able to like do all the other things that I'm doing where I don't really get paid from it. So I've been working with them. Thank you, TalkSport. Literally. And they're so supportive of me as well. You wouldn't think it, because I'm not shy, but in a workplace I can be very shy. Like, I didn't really talk, and I don't like being too much. I don't like asking for favours and stuff. Like, I knew they could like play my song and stuff, but I didn't want to ask them because I don't know, like, I don't want to be like annoying. But they like, I think they kind of respected that in a way, and so like they've taken me in more and like make an effort to support me more, because I'm not like just like
give me.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, they play my music on the radio now. That's and great. Like give me shout outs and things, and like, yeah, like it's really helped, to be honest. And
I'm need to build your confidence up as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely helped to build my confidence. And just being in that environment is cool as well. Like, I've seen some sick people. I got to meet Ollie Murs, and like they played my song to him on the radio, and like he reacted to it. Obviously I can chop that up, put it on socials and things. Like, yeah, it's been really good, man. It's been really good.
So that keeps the lights on, as they say.
Yeah.
And allows you to be creative.
Yeah. So it's like, all of that time I was just like working and not getting paid, like that kind of made it pay off, getting that job in a way. And then, yeah, and just I have a busy schedule though. Like, it is like hard to keep up with everything sometimes. But
and when you're really, really busy, how do you give yourself like self-care and love, and how do you give yourself that moment to reflect and be like, right, I need a moment for me. It's all a bit much. What do you do when that starts to happen? Because obviously you probably can feel it when you're like, shit, I'm really being taken to the edge.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I started to go to the gym as a way of like having like just like exercise is good, isn't it, for the brain and things, but also like my my friends, I'd say that are the main things, that are the main, like, people that just help me. Because, yeah, I invest a lot into my friendships, and I, like, nurture my friendships a lot, because I know, like, whenever I'm feeling down or whatever, just, like, the fact that I have people that I can go to who are, like, actual, genuine, like, good people. And these are, like, my home friends. Like, no, these aren't people that I kind of met through, like, work and things. They're just, like, people I've grown up with and, like, met along the way as well. But, yeah, they, just nurturing them friendships, I feel like, is important, because I feel like a lot of people, when they're stressed, they just go into a ball and they kind of, like, hide away and things. But I feel like I've really recognised the importance of relationships and just, yeah. And that really gets me through any times I can just, like, go to their place and, like, have a little break. Or, like, my friends just had twins, so I'm, like, an auntie now to these twins. So, like, if I'm feeling, like, stressed or whatever, like, just seeing, like, being around babies, it's just, like, so pure and can just, like, make you remember what life's about and kind of just, yeah.
So you just take time out. You go and see your friends.
Yeah, literally.
You chill out. And do you go away a lot? I know you said you were going away next week.
Yeah. Not really. I don't go away a lot. But I try to take... For, like, the last... Well, I did go travelling to Thailand, though. In the summer, I went travelling to Thailand, like, backpacking. Because I was like, man, I just needed a break from everything. Went backpacking, but, yeah, that was lit.
And would you do that again?
Definitely. Because I didn't stop working, though, when I was there.
Okay, so they were sending you the stuff you were...
No, like, working on my own stuff in terms of, like, I wrote an EP while I was out there, and I was filming content, filmed a music video out there, and, like, was just filming loads of content and things as well, because sometimes it's, like, cool scenery can, like, really enhance your content and things like that. So I wasn't, like, fully just chilling, but, yeah, it was good to get away and, like, just explore
different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, I hadn't been away for time. Because I can't go. Normally, I can't go away. Like, I miss my radio show. So I need to, like, go away in the time where, like, in the week where I don't have my radio show and, like, be back for that. Yeah.
Can you pre-record or?
Yeah, I can pre-record. But it's so long to pre-record. Because you overthink everything and you're like, oh, I just started. Like, I need to record that again.
Yeah.
Whereas when you just do it live,
it's happening.
It's just fresh. Like, that's what it is. Yeah. Like, you just go with it.
So, take me back to your music. So, I know that I wanted to hear more about your anthem, Straight Girl. And obviously, I don't know, you probably get asked about it a lot, but can you just give us a little. Explain to me how it came about. Yeah. Obviously, there was a bit of controversy around it. And. Like, that whole kind of, like, coming out, I watched that video on YouTube about you and that whole part. How was the coming out bit, and then how did that move on to the track? And
yeah.
I know they didn't happen simultaneously, obviously, you know what I mean? They're all part of the same sort of thing that happened, and obviously there was the controversy around the song.
Yeah. So, like, in terms of, like, the coming out part of it, I feel like it was just... I met a girl. My life changed. Never looked back. I would speak to boys when I was young and things, but I didn't give a fuck about them. Like, I just never cared. And then I met this girl and I was, like, obsessed with her. Like, I just always wanted to be around her at school. And, like, I was like, this is weird. Like, why am I feeling like this kind of thing? Tried to, like, hide away from it, but... Yeah, in the end, I couldn't. And I was just like, okay, this is what it is. Like, I think maybe I have feelings for a girl. It's a bit weird at first because it's not, like, normal. Like, it doesn't feel normal because that's just the way we've grown up. But, yeah. And then never looked back. But in terms of the song, Straight Girl, I'd met a girl at my university and she was straight, but she weren't moving straight, but like she'd say she was straight. Like basically the song is a true story, really and truly. So it just was inspired from the fact that I was like having a situationship with this straight girl, and like she was saying she was straight, but how can you be straight when you're like moving like this? It's a bit weird. Like, so that's what inspired the song. And I literally, when I wrote the song, it just flowed because it was a story. Like, it's legit a story. Like,
it's storytelling again.
It's literally storytelling. It's actually like what is happening. And that's the thing with my music, it's very reflective of like situations that have happened in my life. Or even if it's not like directly, that's what it is. It's inspired from that, and then like I just build around it.
So what was the kickback about it? What was the...
So there wasn't really any kickback, but it was just like, it's controversial in terms of the fact that I'm talking so openly, like I'm in such a gay way, like about like being with a girl and like the sexual aspects of it as well. And obviously to people that's like, that stands out, innit? Because no one really be doing that, especially in terms of like lesbian relationships, specifically. And it's a bit like when DBE started talking about, like, they were like trap boys and they started talking about like home pussy and shit. Like everyone was like, oh my God, like they're talking so openly about this. So I guess it's like, that's kind of what made it get attraction on TikTok and things. And like, yeah.
Because it did, I feel like, it's doing really well.
So yeah, still. It did well. I feel like I can go to a whole nother level. Where I'm just doing this all by myself, like I'm not signed or anything. I know that the songs are good and they can all go to a whole nother level. Like, I just need to get it in the right places, need the right support and things like that. And then, yeah, but it's... Yeah, I have enjoyed what's been going on from that song, like just going out to like lesbian events as well and things like that, and like everyone in them communities kind of like knows that song, and they're like oh that song's sick, and yeah, like it's quite, I'd say like people in that LGBT scene in London specifically, that song really hit that community and like people could relate to it and things.
Yeah. Okay. So you when you came out, how was that? Did you go to your parents? Did you what sort of advice would you give to anyone that's going through the same sort of thing?
Well, I didn't really tell my mum like directly. She kind of asked me because I kept on hanging out with this girl. So she was like, "What is this? Like, are you bisexual? Are you a lesbian?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm bisexual," because when you're coming out, it's easier to like go from straight to bisexual. Do you know what I mean? It's like the pathway. And then like now I like identify as a lesbian, but it was at first I came out as bisexual just because I feel like
it was easier.
It's easier, do you know what I mean? And also I was getting to know myself and things like as well, because I was like, I don't know, 14 or something like that. 15 maybe. But yeah, so my mum was just like, "Oh, you?" And I was like, "Yeah." Then the first thing she said was, "At least you can't get pregnant."
I don't know.
I was just like, my mum is pretty chilled. Like, where my parents are like, they're very liberal. They're very liberal. So like, they never like made it a problem or anything. It's more but on my dad's side, they're proper like Christians.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've never spoken about it to them, and like try to hide my undercut when I'm around my grandma, just so I don't scare her. Like, oh God, if she saw that straight girl video, yeah, I hope she hasn't, because I don't want her. I want her to die thinking that, like,
yeah.
Not thinking that I'm like going to hell or something. But but yeah, no.
And what's coming up next for your music then? What's, because if you're going in every week, you're starting to churn them out? Is it, do you start to find more of a rhythm when you're making music? Is it like, right, okay, I know how this formula is now starting to work?
Yes, so I'm actually really excited at the moment, like with what's to come, because I've transitioned now from the YouTube beats to actually working with producers and like making songs. And I feel like that enhances the music so much, because there's only so much you can do with YouTube beats. Especially if I don't buy like the whole license, but you get all the stems and stuff. Like I was just getting the cheapest license. But yeah, so I've got an EP coming, which is actually, it's been, I've got a publishing deal for it now. So that's going to be,
amazing.
Yeah, so it's going to be for like film and TV. So I kind of made the EP specifically for film and TV. So it's quite like cinematic in some aspects and things, and like, and yeah, so like that's sick because it can get shown on like.
And was that all self-taught, how you made it for TV and cinema?
Yeah, I feel like everyone always told me I have quite an ethereal sound with some of my songs, and so it just kind of happened like that. I didn't, it's not like I make it thinking
this one's going to be on TV.
Yeah. I just make it and it kind of has that, and they like
that sound.
They liked it and they were like, they wanted to support it and back it. And so that's sick. Like that's coming out end of March, beginning of April kind of time. I'm excited for what that's going to do. And then also I've the other music that's to come as well. After that, I've got like a couple singles and things coming afterwards as well, which I'm excited about.
Is there any artist that you think, I really draw inspiration from that person? Is there anyone that stands out?
Yeah, so like, I say like Post Malone and Billie Eilish are two of my biggest inspirations. But then, like, my favourite artist as well, like, XXXTentacion was, like, one of my favourite artists. But then, growing up, I loved Justin Bieber. Like, I was a proper believer. Like,
he doesn't love Justin Bieber.
I loved Justin Bieber so much. And obviously, that feeds into, like, my pop side. But, yeah, Billie Eilish and Post Malone therefore have influenced my sound a lot.
Amazing. So, I guess I just want to like just try and understand a bit more about your creative journey, and when you've, have you ever had any moments where you've kind of hit a brick wall, or you're just like, oh, actually, I'm not really sure what's going on here, or you're doing a track and you get a bit lost within it, or it takes you in a direction that you don't really want to go, or what happens at that moment where you struggle a bit?
There's always their moments. Self-doubt is definitely a thing that comes into play sometimes. Sometimes I've had like, not necessarily writer's block, but I've been so busy with other things and like, that I've just like not been writing as much, or like I have so much university work to do. So it's like really hard to like be writing as much and things like that. What do I do in them moments? I kind of just understand that it's a moment. Do you know what I mean? And it's not gonna last forever. And I just keep going and wait for a moment to come where I'm like feeling inspired, and go out and live and have experiences to be able to write music as well. Do you know what I mean? You have to be like doing things. So that's why I say my friends help, like just going out and doing certain things, then like can kick that inspiration back into my life and kickstart the writing and things like that again.
Is there a direction that you want to go in? Is there like something that's a bit more like, okay, next year I'm going to do just music, but I want to create X amount of sounds in one year? Or do you just literally go with the flow?
No, so I definitely like have a plan, Like, I make like 6 month plans, a year plan, etc. So I'm dropping this EP. I'm hopefully gonna get like placements in like on TV, on films, which is just gonna elevate it and reach loads of new people. My main thing is building my fan base. That's, I realized that, like, at first I was just making music and like, and just trying to really engage with my community and like the underground community and get like, and like going to the shows and things like that and just, you know, make them crowds like understand my music and things and just connect with them. And then I realized, but they're more like my colleagues, like them under them, like other underground artists. They're not my fans. Do you get it? I need to find my fans, like them people that don't know me at all, like in real life, and they just like love my music and they're like want to know more and want to be invested in me. And I realized that within the past 6 months, really, that I need to just focus on that and just, yeah. So I've like, that's my main thing, just build that fan base and like build a community within my fan base. So like, have a name for my fans, Martians, because like, you mm-hmm. know, like Mars, Martians. So like, yeah, I just want, that's my main goal, build that fan base, drop music consistently. I always try and drop consistently. I try to do it like every 2 months, if not every 3 months, and just keep doing that. And it will get somewhere. It will get somewhere. I'd say playing at festivals this summer, though. I definitely want to do that.
Are you booked anywhere, or is that coming up?
Yeah, so I have one booking. I forgot what it was called, but it's a festival up north. So I have that booked, but I'm trying to hit, like, last year I did the Great Escape Festival, which was sick. It'll be sick to do that again this year, or, like, Radio 1 stage, the BBC Introducing stage at, like, Reading Festival or something would be sick. And, yeah, I want to proper hone in on my guitar skills as well and, like, be able to, like,
go. Do you have lessons, or do you just, is that just self-taught?
Just, yeah.
So a lot of your stuff is self-taught?
Yeah.
And YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube is my bestie. Thanks, YouTube. YouTube is my best friend. Literally taught me everything, I swear to God, literally.
So regarding the super fans, because there's a lot of talk of it in the industry about people and their super fans, and how did you start to think, right, I need to have my fans, my super fans, and do you know how you can reach them? Have you thought about how do I touch those?
Yeah, so I have this fan called Marley, big up Marley. He comes to every single one of my shows, yeah, like, he's so sick, man, he's so sick. But that made me clock, like, they're the type of people that I need, like, because I don't, he just saw my TikTok and, like, just wanted to invest in me from then, like, buy my merch, like, everything, anything I drop.
Is he the one that keeps posting all everything about you? There is someone that said that to me, that I think you've got a fan who just literally posts continuously anything.
Probably. He's sick, man. He's so sick. But yeah, from there, I was like, so now I have like a group chat, and I put all my, like, anyone that like contacts me like on DM or something, like, oh, I love your music, whatever, I'm like, sick, like, do you want to join the group chat? I've got a group chat for my supporters, so then I can send like exclusive videos into that group chat and like engage with them on a more, like, to build that kind of, to build it, and like they invite their friends into the group chat, and just want to build it and build it in that way. And then the reason why I realised it was so important as well is because a lot of artists that are big nowadays, they kind of like got big from their subculture, not from being like, just like, it's not like, like Justin Bieber, he was like, when he came out, he was mainstream and he had his mainstream audience. But a lot of artists are growing from these subcultures of like having their fan base, and their fan base just growing and growing and growing.
And have you found that doing it that way through your WhatsApp? Because that's quite an innovative way to work, to go like...
No, I don't do it on WhatsApp. Snapchat.
Snapchat, okay.
But I'm not giving... I can't give Molly my number. one of my friends gave him their number, and he just was belling them down every day. So I can't do that. Sorry, Molly. I've already told him. I already told him that. But yeah, Snapchat is the place.
So you bring them all there, and has it been growing nicely, or?
Yeah, it's been growing nicely. Like, I only started it like 2 weeks ago. I've got 20 people on there, just trying to just grow that and grow that and grow that. Because I feel like, I don't want to focus as much on like, on just getting like loads of views. There's no point of getting loads of views when you don't have them diehard fans. Like, that's what is going to make you. You need diehard fans. Like, that's what's going to take you, and that's what's going to show that you're making an impact. And I know it's possible, because my life is mad. My life is crazy. And I have so many stories, like, to tell. So I know that people can be inspired and, like, can become invested in my journey. Like, I know it's possible. So it's just about, like, getting my message across to them.
It's interesting, because I haven't heard people say that to me before, that they've got a little group and they start to develop it and they grow it. And it will be interesting to see how that grows. Because, like, when you drop a track, everyone knows it's going to be in that group first.
Yeah, like, I put it in that group, they all go, like, comment and things, like, it feels good.
So, is there anything you'd like to say to your super fans, now that we're speaking to them?
No, literally, that's the reason why I'm doing it. That's the reason why I'm doing all of this, because I want to make an impact, a real impact. And so as long as I have, like, people supporting me, like, I'm grateful for them, and that's what's going to keep me going. And that's what's gonna, like, make my dreams come true. It's really them, that they have the ability to do that. I can do everything I can, but without them fans, I wouldn't, like, I'm gonna be nothing. So it's really and truly all about them.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I think we're gonna thank leave you. It on the super fans bit. Because that went very quickly. I think it's been nearly an hour. So, but thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.